With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BJ, it's always great to have our next guest on, and we're ditching the Seahawks, and we're just going to talk Mariners, Kraken, and what he did over the weekend. How about that?
Please
welcome to the show the host of Mitch Unfiltered, Mitch Levy.
And the University of Washington has a new head football coach, right?
Oh, well, we got that going on, yeah.
Is that a good pickup? I don't know much about the guy.
No, I don't think the guy knows much about the guy, so don't worry.
Well, there you go. And congratulations.
And that's not to take a shot at the guy, because it sounds like they got a pretty good offensive mind, a guy who works with quarterbacks, a guy who's done a very good job at Fresno State. But the University of Washington, on the day after USC is able to lure the guy from Oklahoma, Lincoln Riley, to USC, to Los Angeles, Washington has its new head football coach. Lots to happening.
Kalen DeBoer.
A lot of reasons, BJ, to listen to episode 168. Beyond the incompetence of your favorite football team.
Yes.
Well, so there's Miggs's a lot of favorite football team.
Episode 168, Mitch Unfiltered, which you can get, of course, at MitchUnfiltered.com or wherever you get podcasts. And, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not a super follower of the Huskies, Mitch, but I mean, this has really been a tough season, and the Apple Cup was a disaster. And for Husky fans, and, you know, like I said, I haven't followed them closely, but I mean, boy, I mean, the glory days of what it feels like we are so far from that.
Yes, well, in the last couple of years, certainly the surprising announcement that Chris Peterson, you remember Chris Peterson,
yes,
the coach, he had done such a really fine job, got them into the playoff, got them into the Final Four of college football in 2016. So it's not that long ago that Washington was on the precipice of doing something very special. When he got up and walked away and just decided no more, for whatever set of reasons, he's kind of a different guy, for whatever set of reasons he just decided he didn't want to do it anymore, I think that threw the program for a loop, and they had to do something quickly. And he got with the athletic director, and they decided to hire or to promote from within his defensive coordinator, Jimmy Lake, and that just was a failure in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Just a complete failure.
Mitch, I didn't realize it was that close that we were in the Final Four. For me, I felt like it was a lot longer than just 5 years ago. I didn't realize that it was that close. Wow. Yeah.
So they've got a quarterback named Heward. You guys know the name Heward.
Wait, what do I know that name? I mean, I don't feel like there's really a legacy with that name. Is it the right choice?
Kind of like steakhouses, I think.
Yeah. It's, that Heward family can turn out some athletes. I'll give them that. Especially QBs.
They can certainly turn out University of Washington quarterbacks. And so this is Sam Heward. This is Damon Heward's son, Brock Heward's nephew,
who was one of, I would say,
the five or six best high school players in the nation here in Seattle when he was a senior in high school. Probably the best quarterback, if not the best quarterback, the second best quarterback in the country. And he came here. They mismanaged him in his first. This past year was his freshman year, his true freshman year. They didn't redshirt him. And they played some other guys, and then they put him in, and then they took him out, and then they put him in. They didn't know what they wanted to do with him. They mismanaged the whole situation. It was a throwaway year. I'm sure he's completely frustrated, as is his dad and his uncle. But now he gets, if he likes him, he gets a guy that comes from Fresno State, really young offensive mind, who should be very good with Sam Huard. So I think it was a pretty good day for the Huskies on Monday yesterday. It was certainly, as Migsy pointed out, a great day for the Seattle Mariners. Yes. I don't know if you and your audience, you know, closely you guys follow
that. We talked about it earlier because, you know, out of all the sports, I love baseball. So, and so, that a huge, huge news.
Huge day.
Yeah, boy, and if that guy cannot be a Cy Young pitcher at T-Mobile Park after, you know, because it's one of the best parks you would want to pitch in, you know, well, so what a great move for Robbie Ray.
Yeah, well, it should be a good move for him. It should be a great move for the Seattle Mariners. They take a giant step closer to being that, you know, that serious contender. I still think they've got some work to do on that roster. I think that they're still a player or two away. But there last week, they also acquired an all-star second baseman slash outfielder last week named Adam Frazier from the Padres. He just made the all-star game last year as a Pirate before the trading deadline. So the Mariners are moving in the right direction. We think Washington's moving in the right direction. Migsy's Seattle Kraken. Boom. Ever since I went to the game, and they fell behind 7-0.
That was the wake-up call for them,
something,
man.
Something happened.
That was rock bottom. You go into a game, and then they're like, you know what? We got to fix this.
We can't have Mitch go to games. This is not what we want. And we better start winning, because if Mitch goes to games, then we'll forget about it.
They're beating some of the best teams.
I can be bought. Yeah, the teams, I mean, I don't know this as well as you do, but the teams that they're beating, I'm looking at the records.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the last night, the Sabres don't seem to have a very good record, but they beat three teams that were like 13-2, 14-3. I mean, they're beating the best of the best in the National Hockey League.
They beat the Panthers at home for the Panthers, who hadn't lost at home. So that was pretty awesome. And then, like you said, Carolina and also Washington, two other top teams. It's been a lot of fun to see this team. Finally, things are starting to come together, man.
Not for those damn Lightning.
They dropped a seventh spot, right? A seventh spot last night against the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, baby.
So it's definitely looking good. I mean, this is exactly what everyone was telling us: is just wait. These guys will figure it out. They'll come together. They'll be on the same page. You know, it's everything that everyone's been saying, and they sure at least, you know, like, all right, well, we were worried about this. We were worried about, Steve kept saying, oh God, they're going to go. I mean, they got to go face the best of the best. This could be ugly. And it is, you know, I mean, outside of that Lightning game, it's been amazing.
Which leads us to what we saw on Monday Night Football last night.
Yeah, you know? Amazing is...
hey, happy birthday, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
You know,
unbelievable,
Mitch,
how far they have fallen. Unbelievable in 1 year, yeah?
Here's my question, because obviously we all saw what we saw, you know. And arguably, I mean, you know, Washington's not a good football team, arguably. I don't think they are. So that makes it even worse that, you know, we just got, you know, I know everyone's like, well, but their defense. Well, yeah, they're not a good football team. I don't care what you say. They're an okay football team. But Russell Wilson does not, I mean, I feel like by now, if he was having rhythm issues or anything at all, like just trying to get back into the rhythm of the game, I would feel like he would be by now, and he still looks like he's not, which makes me wonder, is his finger an issue, and is that he should not be playing? Because, I mean, at three games, you should not be looking like a guy who plays for the XFL with some of his passes. Because that's what it looked like. It looked like I was watching an XFL game where it's like, wow, you really appreciate NFL players because everybody's on the same page. You don't see the ball flying over everybody's head every 5 seconds. Yeah. Russell Wilson looks like an XFL quarterback sometimes. And
well, you just asked a couple. You asked like two or three questions there.
All right, I'm going to let you go ahead.
I don't know. I don't know that I have the answers, but I do want to applaud you. I want to point out to Migsy that this is the first time in about 4 weeks that you've asked a question other than, I don't think that the Seahawks know what they want to be. Do they want to be an offensive team or do they want to be a defensive team? They want to figure out what they want to be.
Well, we know what they want to be. They want to be losers. And they're
tired, Mitch,
man.
Mitch, after last night's game, there is no questions to ask as far as what do they want to be. We know, like Steve said, we know exactly what they want to be. You know, they want to be a team that wants to exhaust the hell out of their defense. That's what they want to be. They want to kill those. I think they're going to. Here's what they're saying to Bobby Wagner. We want you to die a Seahawk. Really? So we're going to exhaust the hell out of you so your last breaths are taken in a Seahawk. I mean, yeah. So
I was sitting.
What do you got for us? What do you have for us?
I was sitting in the chair that I'm sitting in now at about 1 o'clock in the morning, putting the final touches on 168. And I literally put my headsets down And I walked downstairs, and as I was walking downstairs, I was mumbling to myself, oh, my God, 5.5 hours until I have to answer, what do the Seahawks want to be? Do they want to be an offensive team, or do they want to be a defensive team?
Yeah. No, you know, listen, answer, let me tell you. Yeah, you,
going
you,
back,
you know
going back
the
to
answer
your question. That. Going back to the answer to your question, should you first asked, should he be playing? No, you first asked, is the finger a problem? Should he be playing the level of play? If he's healthy enough to be playing and he's not in harm's way with the finger, I don't think there's any question that he should be playing. Now,
exactly.
Now, you asked the question, how is this not his finger or the rust or the layoff? And the answer is, it doesn't matter what he gets in front of a microphone and says, because he's going to say all the things that you expect Russell Wilson, the robot, to say. But there's just no question. He is impacted, effective, adversely effective. He is not himself. He is not playing well. Regardless of the fact that, and I don't know if you guys even stayed up with your early hours, mm-hmm. the late 95 yard or whatever 90 something yard touchdown drive to get him a chance, give him a chance, despite that drive, make no mistake about it, Russell Wilson is playing a level of quarterbacking that's in the lowest low starters in the NFL. You are literally watching one of the worst performing quarterbacks over the course of a 60-minute game, probably one of the worst 10 quarterbacks that's starting in the NFL. He is just not playing well. Now, you add in the finger, you add in the layoff, you add in the fact that he's not getting help from his offensive line, he's not getting help from his running game. Look at the running game last night.
Yeah, abysmal.
Terrible. I mean, every time they went to run the ball, I don't know that they gained 2 yards. They would try to run it on first down, and now he's facing second and 10. The Washington football team runs the ball, and they're facing second and 4 and second and 5. Big difference, okay? So you've got a wholly offense. You've got an offensive line that's not playing well in protection, an offensive line that's not playing well in run blocking, a quarterback who probably still has a hand issue and rust. You put it all together, and it's a catastrophe. And then, if you want to even go a layer deeper, which I don't know that we want to do, but if you want to go a layer deeper and you start talking about the coaching and the lack of adjustments and the offensive play calling and this new offensive coordinator that they got from the Rams, who has done nothing to separate himself as anything more than pedestrian, and the relationship between Pete Carroll and this offensive coordinator and the question marks of whether Pete Carroll is allowing this offensive coordinator to do what he does, we don't know the answer to that. It is a full system collapse. And as I talked about on episode 168, I tweeted it out last night. I don't know that people want to hear this, because Pete Carroll and this regime deserve a lot of credit. They brought a Super Bowl here. They brought winning football here. It has been, for the most part, a glorious 10 or 12 years for the Seattle Seahawks football fans and for the 12s. Having said that, I don't think there's any question that sweeping changes need to be made. I'm not telling you they will be, because we talked about this last week. This is a different thing with Jody Allen running the team, the sister of the late Paul Allen, and what she's willing to do and how demonstrative she's willing to be, and the autonomy that she's given to the coach and Pete Carroll to do what he wants to do and leave probably on his own. I'm not saying that we're going to have these changes, but I don't know how anybody, whether you know football or you don't know football, whether you're an owner or the owner's sister, I don't know how anybody could watch last night and the last several weeks and consider the way they've drafted, the way they've traded. It's just been an absolute disaster. And in just about any other city, there would be change. Pete Carroll and his staff would be out, and there would be change during the offseason. I don't know if it's happening here, but it certainly it screams that it needs change, this product.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Mitch. I mean, anybody that had vision would have seen this 3-8 this season coming, and like you said, would have made change before we had this rock bottom thing.
No, I don't know that. I don't know. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think that anybody with vision would have seen this 3-8 coming. I think they had plenty of good football players to be a lot better than 3-8, even with the quarterback being out for 4 weeks of the season. I think they had plenty of good football players, but But now you look at the situation they're in, the situation with the cap, the trade of Jamal Adams that traded all their draft choices away. Now, I mean, they are in such a bad situation right now moving forward to get out of the hole. I don't know how you get out of this hole unless you're willing to trade a quarterback for the best offer during the offseason. I just don't know how they're going to get out of this incredible hole. It is just an absolute, in terms of football and sports, don't want to make it more than it is. It's a catastrophe sports-wise. It's just a blatant failure by so many people over there that it's hard to even get your arms around.
That's actually a fun question about, hey, did Russ and DK get in some kind of fight? Why did it take until like the fourth quarter before he even looked at him?
It's unbelievable. Well, he threw to him in the third quarter, but the right. Text is the same. It's that question is so incomprehensible. We could sit here for the next 10 years to try to figure out what they are thinking over there. You've got a guy like DK Metcalf. It's not that hard to get him involved in the game early. It's just not that hard. It just takes a little bit of foresight, a little bit of pre-planning, and in the first 12 or 15 plays, you throw the ball to him, you toss it to him on an end around, you throw a screen pass to him. There are ways to involve him early to get him into the rhythm of the game. It is absolutely remarkable that they didn't look his direction last night until it's football 101. B.J. Shea could have been the head coach, could have been the offensive coordinator.
It's trending now. Hire B.J.
DK and Metcalf.
You know what? Heads would roll. I'll tell you right now. Heads would roll. You put me in there. So, Mitch, here's the thing. You're yes. talking about two icons. You're talking about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, because basically, and I guess John Schneider, basically, as far as at least, sure. Those are that's the big three. And I don't, if they don't win another game this season, which is very possible, if they don't, maybe they can beat the Lions and the Bears. So maybe they might get five wins. But, if that's what we end up with, a five win season. Yes. What do you think the chances are that we lose one, two, or all three of those guys? I don't think we lose any of them. I think we are stuck with them. And here we go again next season.
Well, the first question that you have to ask is, does Pete Carroll want to come back? That's the first question.
I'll tell you a funny aside.
I don't know we in the sports field, we use social media and Twitter to get a lot of information and breaking news. And it's become a real resource for those of us in the sports world. But what comes along with that is these fake Twitter accounts.
Oh, yeah.
Where you could fall for a sport, for a report, and think that it's true. There was a Twitter
report. We've never done that, have we, Steve?
No. I fell for it last week. There was a report that said that USC has made Pete Carroll, of course, they already signed Lincoln Riley, but last week they have made Pete Carroll their priority. They want to bring Pete Carroll back to the USC football program, and they have lined up a conversation with him, and it's his job to lose. And it was a fake report. Whoever the author of the report, they changed the name, changed the Twitter handle by like one letter, and I didn't notice it. So I'm like looking at it going, oh, how about that? And I got to say that when I read it, my first reaction was, this may be a great thing for the Seattle Seahawks, that USC wants Pete Carroll back. So the question I say is, does Pete Carroll want to come back and start all and do this all over again? We can talk about Russell Wilson like we did last week and next week and the following week. The facts remain the same, that he has the right to decide if he's going to okay a trade. He can give them a list of teams. He could say, I don't want to be traded. He could say, here are the four teams, like he did this past offseason. So I don't know whether he'll be back, because I don't know whether he'll make it very difficult for the Seahawks to get the return that they'd be looking for a quarterback at his stage of his career. As for John Schneider, I think he would be probably the one guy, and I'm not sure why, that Seahawk fans would like to see come back. There's a trust in John Schneider, which I think has eroded, personally, I think's eroded away from me, based on trades that he's made, based on draft choices that he's made. I don't see it, but it's a great question. You call them the big three. We'll ask it for the next 5 weeks or 6 weeks, but we'll have to wait to the offseason to see if one, two, or all three of them are back.
Well, there you go. That's pretty much so for the rest of the season, we have no idea what we're going to talk to Mitch Levy about.
The Mariners. The
yeah, I know what you're going to talk to me. You're going to ask me next week. You know, the Seahawks need to know what they are, what they want to be.
Yeah, it's beyond that now. I mean, it is. I mean, that was a fair question. You know, it's been a fair question, but now it's beyond that.
You're not the one to call your own questions fair. Oh, that's somebody else.
It's a fair question.
Oh, BJ's he's notorious for saying, this is a great question that I'm about to ask.
Look, I've been screaming about this for a while, Mitch. You know, it's like this team, you know, continues to, you know, just let the offensive line be Swiss cheese and continues to, you know, really not, in my opinion, invest in a healthy running game. You just had to know running backs don't get better once they get injured. Once they get injured, you need to be on the lookout for somebody else. They don't ever come back and go, you know what? After I wrecked my ankle, I was amazing and never got hurt again. They have just not had great foresight in that running game, in my opinion. Like, you know, Jamal Adams, to me, is not as important as a good running back. And they should never – I just feel like, yeah, you know. So I guess I did ask the question again. You got me to ask it again. But now it's just a matter of who the hell is going to make the decision of what this team is going to be, really.
That's
the next thing.
That's the question. That's the big question. Who's going to step in and make these decisions? Is it going to be Jody Allen? Is it going to be Bert Cold, who was the right-hand man for Paul Allen all those years while he was running the Portland Trailblazers in the Seattle Seahawks? I don't know who the person is.
I would like to see Jerry. How about Jerry DePoto? It seems like he's done a pretty good job. Let him make some decisions.
Well,
I mean, he can't be worse, right?
I think he's another segment. We'll talk about it.
Oh, wow. Holy cow. All right. Anyway, the latest episode of Mitch Unfiltered, number 168, it's dropped. You can get it at MitchUnfiltered.com, wherever you get podcasts. Mitch, we are going to talk to you next Monday. I'm going to try to figure out why.
After a big win against the 49ers. What are you talking about?
Oh, is that what it's
going
to be?
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for having me. But I just have to leave you with this. Danny knows. You guys have to figure out what you want to be as a morning show. I mean, I just think you got to, at some point, make a decision.
Ryan Castle, though, the guy that makes decisions, he's, you know, our trust in him is eroded. I'll be honest with you. We're not sure if, you know, the big three, myself, Steve, and Ryan, you know, there's erosion with management.
We prided ourselves on being high-energy mediocrity. Now you're telling us we should be something else?
Yeah. I really thought we had that down, Mitch, but okay, fine. So there you go. MitchUnfiltered.com. Check out Mitch Levy wherever you get podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.